probably the most pivotal moment for me happened in middle school, and I didn't realize that it was real, but I had friends that had a lot and friends that had nothing, and I was hanging out with a friend in middle school, and they lived literally in a trailer park, and the refrigerator went out that day. And I remember watching his parents at a young age just begin to watch this refrigerator break their family apart. If you hadn't spent $50 here, if you hadn't done this, we would have had money for this. And I thought, that's unbelievable. And I went that night and spent the night with another friend who lived in the country club. And I remember opening up their 3-car garage and 3 refrigerators sitting in there. His dad was a hunter and 2 of them were freezers full of meat. And I remember thinking, these are really good people. They would give one of those if they only knew. I did nothing about it. I was a really shy kid. And I think as I grew up and moved to Atlanta, I saw extreme wealth and then I saw extreme poverty. I always wrestled in this tension of people are innately good. They would do good if they knew how. And I thought, wow, we could really connect neighbors to needs right down the road. There has to be a way to do this.
That's Blake Canterbury talking about his youthful epiphany that would ultimately lead to the Atlanta-based social purpose company he recently founded. It's called Purposity, blending purpose and generosity, and it's leveraging technology and human kindness to create a brand new army of philanthropists helping change the world one text at a time. This is Crazy Good Turns. We tell stories about people who do amazing things for others, and I'm your host, Brad Shaw. Two-year-old Blake Canterbury grew up in southern rural Georgia with dreams of becoming a professional baseball player, and he got pretty close. By high school, he had attracted interest from several Division I schools and Major League Baseball teams, including the Cincinnati Reds. But those baseball dreams were dashed by a series of injuries. A split knee, sprained ankle, fractured vertebrae, a hand shattered by a pitch.
And at that point, baseball was done. That was really a pivotal moment for me because all that I knew in life was completely gone.
Blake ultimately ended up attending Southern Polytechnic State University just outside of Atlanta, where he studied business. After graduating, he went to work for some friends who had a web design shop in Cumming, Georgia. And it was there that Blake realized he had an eye for design.
And I would hang out with them looking at the websites they were designing, and I would say, oh, your site would look better if you did this and this. I ended up buying a Mac, learning Photoshop. I realized I was a creative, and so I went from being a dumb jock to wearing skinny jeans.
The year was 2009, and social media was all the rage in marketing circles. But Blake's instincts made him wonder if there could be greater purpose from all that tweeting and posting.
We ended up adding social media for free into our clients just so I could learn strategy and processes. And I looked at Twitter and thought, there's potential to communicate a message to maybe millions of people at one time. There has to be a way to leverage this for good. And that's when my wheels started turning around what could be leveraged for good in the tech space.
In September that year, Blake got the chance to put that thought into action. An epic rainstorm blew through Georgia, causing severe flooding for days. More than 15,000 homes were damaged or destroyed, many of them in and around Atlanta.
I went down to the Atlanta flood, found an organization. They said our biggest need right now is diapers. I was like, perfect. Created a Twitter account, tweeted it out, retweeted it myself. And we had people from 5 different states say I would give money or diapers. And I thought, wow, this could really work. So I did a couple test runs, did beds for families, did coats for families, and thought, this really may work.
Then a few months later, in January of 2010, Blake got another opportunity to test his theory, this time on a global scale.
The funny part about Haiti was I asked for a passport for Christmas that year from my parents, never been out of the country. And when the earthquake hit, I was sitting watching Anderson Cooper live on CNN. And I got a call from my mom, you're not going to Haiti. Mom's intuition, I'm like, Mom, I'm not going to Haiti. 20 minutes later, I got a phone call from a group that ran, it was a natural disaster organization. And they said, we worked with you inside the Atlanta flood, we're going to Haiti and we've got a seat on a plane for somebody that can do social media with us. So I called my mom back, Mom, I'm going to Haiti. And I ended up going down. And
the group that Blake went to Haiti with included some of the founding members of Team Rubicon, which we featured in season 1. Similar to the way the Team Rubicon guys describe it, no one on the team really knew what they'd find in Haiti or even what they could do. They just wanted to help, and Blake knew there had to be a way for social media to play a role.
There weren't many objectives going in other than a team of ex-Marines that were kind of going together to go inside of there and just do whatever good we could. And what ended up happening was one of the team members had a grandmother who lived through the earthquake. She was 99. We fixed some broken down SUVs and drove a caravan to a house standing in a town called Gungwave, which is about 8 miles outside of Port-au-Prince. When we got there, 100,000 people had either moved out of the hills or out of Port-au-Prince into this town because it was a safe zone. Nobody knew the amount of people that were living there and how much need they had. So that's where I launched a social media campaign with the team, and we ended up connecting Doctors Without Borders, Samaritan's Purse, the U.S. Marines, and the Haitian police all together to begin driving relief into this town.
It was now clear to Blake that technology and social media could be harnessed to connect people in need with those who want to give. He spent the next 5 years or so playing around with different models while working at Brand Apart, a marketing and branding studio in Atlanta. His community work connected him with many local nonprofits and social workers, which gave him a vivid picture of the needs among the impoverished. The specific idea for Purposity came in 2015.
I received an email one day from a homeless liaison at a school system. Her email basically said, it takes weeks and sometimes months to track down basic resources for students that live in poverty. She's like, would you help put a technology piece around this? There has to be a better way. And so I really started moonlighting on nights and weekends around what this looks like. I think the drive for me personally was my friends wanted to do good, but they felt like texting to the next natural disaster that happened didn't connect them enough, and they weren't willing to give up their Saturdays to go volunteer at organizations. And so I really started framing that people want to do good, and if you gave people one action step at a time, they would respond.
So Blake and some friends set out to build a technology platform to address the social workers' pressing need, but with a bigger goal in mind.
The larger picture of poverty is just too much for anybody to go tackle. And so what we really looked at was if we could get needs vetted from local organizations, school systems, and nonprofits that had systems for moving people from poverty to sustainability, they could submit a need like a kid needs a pair of shoes into the system. On the flip side, we would ask people to receive one text message a week of an urgent need with the idea of what would Atlanta look like if we had 1 million people receive one text message a week of an urgent need. If we had 1 million people get that, there wouldn't be a need in this city we couldn't meet. And the fundamental idea is that we have the resources in every community to meet the needs of that community.
Blake eventually left his job to focus on building Purposity full-time. In the spring of 2016, he launched a small pilot of the program in the Forsyth County school system north of Atlanta. The results affirmed his belief that Purposity could have national appeal.
Every single need that went out got met, and they were getting met in a matter of like 10 minutes. So as we built this pilot, we ran it for an entire spring, and we realized what we did solved a problem for them. And it also solved a problem for almost every school system in the country. And it would also scale to almost every nonprofit in the country.
So here's how Purposity works. As a person interested in helping people in my community, I go to the Purposity website and register my cell phone number. Each Monday evening, I get texted specific needs in my community. Things like a space heater for a single mom living in poverty, or housewares for a family who lost their home in a fire. These needs are all vetted by social workers in the public school system or local nonprofits. I simply click on the text to read more, and if I'm interested in helping, I click again to purchase that item on Amazon, which ships it directly to the social worker for delivery to the person in need. Because that item is going through a nonprofit entity, my purchase is a tax-deductible donation. And I can share my good deed on my social channels with another easy click, hopefully inspiring others to do the same. Blake says that Purposity is designed to create new philanthropists in a modern world where philanthropy can sometimes be an afterthought.
We built this product really for people who don't care about philanthropy. If somebody's not currently engaged in philanthropy, they're not going to change their habits on a daily basis to get involved with philanthropy. Typically, you wake up, you go to work all day, or you go to school all day, you come home, your friends, social life, and then you go to bed and you have no time for anything else. So we thought, how do we intersect somebody's life? The lowest barrier to that was a text message. So we thought to sign up for this, all you have to do is put a phone number, a zip code in, and get started, and you're in. And then once a week, you'll receive one text message that's kind of fun, it's kind of quirky, and it'll take you less than 2 minutes to impact somebody.
That fun and quirky approach to Proposity's marketing is intentional. When the texts roll in on Monday night, they have funky titles like Advanced Math Ain't Easy, which was a calculator for a super smart student who couldn't afford to buy one, and Brush Those Pearly Whites, which were toothbrushes for a family in need.
One of the things we wanted to do is not be seen as a sad face organization. We really want Proposity to be a lifestyle brand worth associating with. So to do that, it has to be positive. So when people get a text message or see Proposity, it should put a smile on their face. And part of that is we're dealing with real grave issues, but we don't think it has to be sad when you're doing it. So your text message, one of my favorites, it was for a special needs child who needed underwear and diapers to make it through the day. And so the text that went out said, could you imagine your child going commando to school? So we have creative writers who are working to make sure that you have a good experience when you're doing good in the world.
Proposity is now up and running in Chattanooga and parts of Georgia, including the Atlanta public school system, with more than 10 school systems coming on board in the weeks ahead. More than 1,000 needs have been met, two of them by Casey Hyde, a 26-year-old photographer and filmmaker in Chattanooga. He bought a pair of Chuck Taylor sneakers for a local kid and a new coat for the child of a single mom. Casey is precisely the type of budding philanthropist that Proposity is targeting. Young, hardworking, and busy, not likely to write a big check at this early start to his career, but still wanting to find a way to give back.
And I don't have much time to maybe volunteer my time, and I don't have much money to give away. I can still get involved. And that, to me, is the most attractive thing about it. It's that if everyone like me got involved, the needs that we could meet would be limitless.
And one of the biggest impacts Proposity is having is on the school social workers who vet the needs that people like Casey meet. Typically, when a social worker encounters a family or student with some pressing need, they have to basically hustle to find a way to meet that need. Maybe blast out an email to the PTA, reach out to a local nonprofit to plead for help or donations. And even then, it's hit and miss. With Proposity, it's as simple as loading that need onto the website, and the community takes care of the rest. Here's Amy Gomez, a social worker in Forsyth County, Georgia. And how has Proposity changed that whole process for you?
Well, the amazing thing about Proposity is I could sit with a student and talk to a student, and they could say, for instance, I work with some students that or families that maybe need diapers. So I go on a home visit, and the mom says, I need diapers size 2. At that point, I can go online and order size 2 diapers and put it out there to Proposity, and then I get a box of diapers mailed to my office the next week. And so I know it's going to come through. I know I'm going to get it. There's not a question of when is it going to come in. And I can tell families, I can get that for you. Whereas in the past, I'd say, well, let me look into it. Let me see if I can figure out a way to get you some help. You know, whereas this, I can say, I can get you this item, and then it comes. And it's a really cool thing to be able to do.
I signed up for Proposity a couple weeks ago, and the first need I met was for a high school student heading to college with a full-ride scholarship, but she couldn't afford an alarm clock. The name of the need was TikTok Says the New Alarm Clock. The process was quick and easy, literally a couple clicks on my phone, and that $29 clock's already on its way to the social worker who submitted that need. Overall, it was a really fun and gratifying experience, and I'm sure I'll do it again. And as Proposity continues to grow, I'm sure many others will too.
When you've done something to impact somebody's life, you start looking for those opportunities. And I say this all the time, what you look for, you find. And I think sometimes you just need to do something good in the morning to spark your day, something good early in the week to spark your week. And I think it changes the lens that you see life through. And when you begin to change your lens, the whole world changes.
I'm Brad Shaw, and thanks for listening to this episode of Crazy Good Turns. Go to crazygoodturns.org to learn more about Proposity and to submit your ideas for extraordinary people and organizations we should feature. And stay connected with us between episodes by following us on Facebook and Twitter.
Whatever you're doing in your life, do it with passion. Do it with love. Love what you do. If you don't love what you do, do something else, okay?
might have noticed, we found some great music to support our podcast. We've provided a Spotify playlist of the full tracks on our website so you can take a longer listen, which we hope you'll do. And if you're a band with a song we should consider featuring, you can submit it on our website too. We're also asking you to help us grow our audience this year and bring our inspiring stories to more people. You see, Crazy Good Turns is a nonprofit itself. And like most nonprofits, we don't have a big marketing budget. And the single most important way for us to gain increased visibility is to crank up our ratings and reviews on iTunes. So we're setting a goal of 1,000 iTunes ratings by the end of the year. We're asking you and the nonprofits we feature to unleash your creativity, passion, and social networks to help us get there. And because we're all part of this virtuous and self-reinforcing circle of giving, we'll give a $50,000 grant at the end of the year to the nonprofit that helps us the most. With your help, we know we'll get there, and then some. Crazy Good Turns is audio engineered by Stephen Key. Music supervision and mixing by Score Score in Los Angeles. And a special thanks to Megan Basinger. Take care, and let's connect again soon.
I'm gonna do my best to do your best. Thank you.